We are chained to this material world. This material world, one name is Maitunaga. It means that we are chained by the ropes of sexual desire. Among material desires, sex desire is the strongest. So material desires, they are the antithesis of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to remember Krishna and simply desire how to serve Him. But material consciousness means to try to make myself the center of enjoyment. So material desires, they are quite opposite to Krishna consciousness. But here we see that Aditi is praying to Krishna for the fulfillment of her material desires. She's approaching her husband, and through her husband she wants to approach Krishna. So Krishna is very kind. Actually, it's not proper to pray to Krishna for the fulfillment of material desires. We don't recommend people to pray like this. We would feel embarrassed. Those who are trained in the line of pure devotional service, they would feel embarrassed to have such a prayer that, "Dear God, please fulfill all my material desires." We're trained to pray differently. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaya, ama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti ahaituki tvai. Selfless service. This prayer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that I don't want anything, not money, followers, beautiful women, or anything that could be imagined within this material world. I don't even want liberation. So I only want your service, Krishna, birth after birth. So this is how pure devote, this is the training in pure devotional service, to pray like this. But Aditi is praying in a different way, and she's not condemned. She's not condemned means it's not very praiseworthy, but at the same time it said that a pious person can pray like this if he wants something. Here we find that Aditi, she was in the category Artha, means one who is distressed. She is one of the four categories of people who approach Krishna for fulfillment of material desires. It's very common, people go to God that, "My dear God, I have such pain due to some disease, please relieve this." Or, "My children are not behaving properly, please influence them to behave properly." So this is for fulfillment of material desire, approaching Krishna. And that is not condemned, because anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, they can gradually become purified. Although if one maintains such a desire, even during the practice of Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult for him to be purified, especially when one takes initiation in Vaishnava Sampradaya. If he maintains material desires at that point, if he deliberately maintains them, it's very difficult to think how he can become purified. Now we see there are different Sampradayas, Vaishnava Sampradayas, going on, but what is the difference between this Sampradaya or this movement and other movements? Well, one thing we may say that this movement is preaching, that is one thing. And other movements are doing some kind of preaching, Vallabh Sampradaya, they will organize some programs. And Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they will organize some lectures. But one important difference is that we are preaching Sarvadhamam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Preaching and practically pushing for that, for freedom, become free from material desires. That's why we find in our movement that someone does something and he becomes the object of some criticism or scorn. We may think, well, that's not such a very bad thing. Of course, there is a lot of criticism in our movement, and a lot of it is excessive or misdirected or whatever. But there is some social pressure within our movement to become a pure devotee. There's social pressure in any group of people. You see, if you go, just my godbrother was just telling me the other day that just before he joined this movement, actually what happened, he was with a group of friends at university, and they were all going to take some kind of drugs for the first time, some injections. So they were pressing him, "You must do also, social pressure, you must also put some needle in your arm." So he resisted, and that very night he got one book about Krishna, and that changed his life. But anyway, he was telling me it was so difficult to resist the pressure. In any group of people, there is some social pressure. I remember when I was at school, it was what you might call not a very high class school, that there was social pressure not to study, not to cooperate with the teachers, to be rude to the teachers. It was considered prestige. If someone punched a teacher in the face, that would be considered very prestigious. If someone was a troublemaker, that was considered, see the kind of background I'm coming from. Catholic school, Irish. So, the social pressure was there. Don't be good. Be bad. Be nasty. Be mean. So, different kinds of social pressure are there in any group. In a company, social pressure is there. Get ahead. Work hard. Lick the boss's backside so you can get promotion. And then when you get promotion, you get up above him and kick him in the head. So different kind of social pressure is there. So in our movement, there's also social pressure to become a pure devotee. That social pressure, in other words, if someone does something, someone is sleeping in the morning, he's in maya. If someone is not working hard for Krishna, there's some pressure. Pressure is there to become a pure devotee. It's not very laudable to be within this movement and at the same time act in such a way to fulfill his material desires. That social pressure is there. So that is the difference between this movement and other movements, even though they're also talking about Krishna bhakti. And even though they may have a bona fide acharya as their founder, but more or less they have compromised with material life. They have compromised with material desires. And there's no preaching or pushing to become free from material desires. It's just everything is nice, everything is okay, you do whatever you like, we won't trouble you, we won't disturb you, and you also do your puja for Lala, and Guru will come from time to time. In Bahrain, one lady from Vallabh Sampradaya was telling me, she said, "I like your ISKCON gurus better than our own Sampradaya gurus, because they come here and they make big collection, and then they spend so much money, and they have some arrangement with the customs in Bombay, and they bring in so many things." I said, "I don't like this," she said. So it's all a clandestine, or not even open, kind of sense gratificatory arrangement. That everywhere the guru is also enjoying, the disciples are also enjoying, and they're also worshipping Krishna. It's pious, you can say some kind of pious life. But there's no motive to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Therefore it's not satisfying. We see so many people from these sampradayas, so many generations, they're worshipping Ranganatha Swami or Tirupati Balaji if they're from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, or Lalu Gopal if they're from Vallabh Sampradaya. But nowadays the children are not interested. If they're just like, if they're from Vallabh Sampradaya, if they're from a priest family, they may take up being a priest, but as a job, because it's good income. It's a good job being a guru. You just go around and people respect you and give you lots of donations, and you know, it's a nice life. You say a few verses here and there, and if you can become a speaker, that's very good. You can learn how to entertain people by speaking, then that is excellent. Comment.
There's even one of these Goswamis who just retired from the home because he had enough fixed property. He lives in a big house with a stone's throw from the jewelry temple.
Yeah, retired guru.
Doesn't need to do all the guru shit.
So, in our movement, the spirit has to be kept alive of pure devotional service. Otherwise, it will all become rubbish, just rubbish. There are already so many temples in India. There's no need to build more temples. Sometimes people say, oh, why are you distributing these books? There's so many books. Or they say, I already have so many books. What need is there? I have so many books in my home, religious books. But the difference is that these books are pushing towards pure devotional service. Actually, a point I made, I was interrupted in the middle, that the young people in these traditional sampradayas, even though for many generations their families have been worshipping the Lord and keeping that spirit alive, now they're mostly not interested. They may take up being a priest as a job because it's a good income. But otherwise they're not interested, and many of them are coming, the young people who they couldn't get any spiritual life from their parents or the sampradaya they were brought up in. But then when they follow modern life, they become frustrated because that is the nature of modern materialistic life, especially those who are coming from a pious background. They very quickly become tired, fed up, frustrated at this materialistic way of life. So we see that many people from Vaishnava sampradayas and even from smarter backgrounds, they're coming to join this movement because they find there's some life, there's some juice in them, there's something which satisfies, which they could not find in their own sampradaya. Prabhupada many times used to quote, he was very happy, very happily quoted that he was met one priest on the airplane in America who said to him that, how is it that so many people, young boys and girls from America, are joining you? He said, before we were trying to make them interested in God, but they did not care to come to our church. But now, so many, they're coming to you, they're mad after God. We could not awaken their interest. So of course Prabhupada had some strong things to say, that why should they come to you? You're not giving them God, you're not following. So how can you expect that they will come? You're not giving them what they wanted. In the name of God, you simply have some rituals and that's all. And you're not even following the instructions that Lord Jesus gave you, thou shalt not kill. Nowadays in our movement, we have a lot of interfaith meetings in which the devotees meet with Christians and Jews and they discuss, your religion is very nice, and they say, oh yes, you are very nice also. But actually when Prabhupada met with Christians, he would always hammer on this point, that you are not following, thou shalt not kill. Why are you breaking the instructions of Jesus Christ? And sometimes the Christians would say, well, all right, but let's go on to some higher subject. And Prabhupada would say, there's no question of any higher subject. First you take up this point, thou shalt not kill. You stop killing the animals in the thousands and millions. Otherwise there's no question of discussion anymore. As one of our devotees, they were talking with a Jewish rabbi, these Orthodox Jews, they have long beards. So he said, you cannot discuss love of God with blood in your beard. So he was quite strong, but that's the point. So, this movement is meant for giving the vastavik vastu, the real thing. The real thing means reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. Vedyam vasavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayam yulanam. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the real thing within the Vedas. Within the Vedas, there are so many illusory parts. Pushpitam vacha, flowery words, karma kanda, do this ritual and you can be elevated to the heavenly planets. That is not the purpose of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is to bring people to Krishna. Vedaischa sarva aham eva vedyaha. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes vedyam vastavam atravastu. This thing is the real thing within the Vedas. This is the really real thing, vastavik vastu. Vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam. It is all auspicious. And tapa trayon mulanam. The three kinds of miseries, adhyatmik, adibhotik, adidaivik, means miseries pertaining to the body and mind, miseries caused by nature, and miseries caused by other living beings. It uproots them from the very root. We try to solve our problems in different ways, but the problems come back. It's just like in a carpet, if there is some bubble, if you press it down, it will come up somewhere else. Or if you are carrying a heavy weight, you shift it from one shoulder to the other. You don't solve the problem. So the problem is that we are envious of Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us not to be envious of Krishna. Not to be envious of Krishna means that desires for sense gratification will be given up. The two things don't go very well together. Now, by Krishna's mercy, desires for sense gratification may be dovetailed in his service. Not all desires. But desires for sense gratification may be dovetailed in his service under the direction of an expert guide. Here we see that Aditi, she had some material desire, but she approached her husband to direct her how she could fill her desire by the grace of the Supreme Lord. So one may have material desires. If he is guided by an expert guru, then those desires may be dovetailed in the service of the Lord. But if it is not done very carefully, or if the person who is in this way dovetailing those desires in the service of the Lord, if they don't act very carefully under the direction of an expert guru, or if they deliberately maintain material desires, they don't try to cut them out, then they won't make proper progress. Material desires are not at all good. But at the same time, we recognize that to overcome them is not an immediate job. It may take some time. So therefore, these desires, they may be engaged. What are the desires? The desires, everyone likes nice food. So, cook nice food for Krishna. Distribute that to others. You also think. Now, when a devotee is cooking, he should not think, I am cooking so many nice things, then we'll stick in front of Krishna, 15 minutes up, okay, boom, now we'll enjoy. Then that is not an offering. Just like one time, Prabhupada was in the kitchen. He came to see how the devotees are cooking for Krishna. And one of his sannyasis was with him. And Prabhupada, it was being cooked very nicely, some rasgulla. And Prabhupada said, he's already enjoyed them. Because he could see he was relishing them. Not thinking, this is for Krishna. So the desire to prepare nice food, that can be dovetailed in Krishna's service, that not thinking, this is for me. Idam Narayanaya Namama in the yajna we offer into the fire. This is for Narayana, not for me. So in that way, offering. Now in any activity, in the neophyte stage we're always in a dangerous position. Because whatever we do, even if we start off thinking I'm doing for Krishna, that our material desire is so deeply rooted that it tends to get mixed up with the desire to serve Krishna. Just like we may think, let me sing some bhajan for Krishna. So we start singing, and then others come, and we can see they're appreciating, oh, he's singing so nicely. And we think, oh, just see, others are. We may not even recognize it in our own heart, how we are enjoying the appreciation of others. And we may go on. Actually, this is very dangerous, as if one, especially for a preacher of Krishna consciousness, that people will appreciate. Why? Of course they should appreciate. They will appreciate. If we preach to others and they become enlivened in Krishna consciousness, people become very grateful that you have taught us about Krishna. They become very happy. And they will naturally start to revere and honor someone who is teaching them about Krishna. So, a devotee, he doesn't desire to be honored. Amanina manadena. A devotee is enjoined to not desire to be praised, but rather to offer praise to others. Now, this is a very dangerous thing, because a devotee may be praised, and if he starts to relish that, there is a kind of material relish in being praised. If he starts to relish that, it's very dangerous. And he may go on with his preaching, but like an intoxication. That, just acting in such a way that others will praise, and then there's some kind of intoxication from that. So that's very dangerous. That means, even we may not even recognize it in our own hearts. That's why we see Prabhupada, he was sometimes very strong and cutting. Because sometimes it would happen, a disciple wouldn't even recognize there is something wrong, and he's thinking, I'm very nice. And Prabhupada would just cut it out. There's that story, Giriraj Maharaj was telling Prabhupada about some of his preaching activities. And he was saying, I'm doing this, and Prabhupada said, that's very nice. I'm doing that, very nice. I'm doing something else, very good. And he was feeling, oh, Prabhupada's praise. This is wonderful. Then he said, but sometimes I feel a little bit in Maya. And Prabhupada immediately cut it and said, you're always in Maya. He was stunned, because Prabhupada had been praising him. Another time, one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada looked at him and said, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. Very cutting. Because he was thinking, I'm the most fallen. You're not more fallen than me. I am the most fallen. You can also think, it's very dangerous. These material desires, as long as we maintain them, Eishavna chare kiche pabe radha Krishna. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings one song. Bhajare bhajare amar man ati manda. Bhaja braja bane radha Krishna charana aravinda. He says that, my dear mind, you are a complete rascal. Please engage yourself in the service of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. So he goes on with the song. Kama krodha lobha moha adi avishta eshavna chare kishe pabe radha krishna. It's a rhetorical question. He says that I'm simply absorbed in lust, anger, greed, illusion, etc. Then how is it possible that we can attain to Radha and Krishna? How is it possible? Good question. Is not possible. So he has sung so many nice songs to teach us, Gopina, Mama Nivedana Shubha, Vishayi Durjana, Shada Kamarat, Nahi Kichu Moraguna. This is how he is praying, to teach us how we should pray. Gopina, please listen to my prayer. I am a rascal, absorbed in sense gratification. My heart is full of lust. There is not even the slightest good quality in me. So this is the mood of a devotee. He's simply submitting himself to Krishna. He's not asking for desires to be fulfilled. This is our prayer. Prahlad Maharaj also prayed. Nrisimhadeva offered Prahlad a benediction. So Prahlad is a little upset. He said, I didn't worship you to get some benediction. I'm not a merchant that I did this and now I want, okay, now it's time for payment. I did so much, just like sometimes devotees, they're in our movement and then they want to get married and they said, well, I did so much service for so many years, so you should give me some money. Or I can steal something. I'll steal $5,000 because if I did this kind of work, if it had been in a kami job, they would have paid me so much, and like this. So that's merchant mentality. But Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not a merchant. But if you do want to fulfill some desire, then you kindly make this desire fulfilled, that from the core of my heart, all the material desires will be removed. That is the proper prayer for a devotee. Not praying that may my desires be fulfilled. That's why that is called cheating religion. That in the name of religion, we're criticizing these people who in the name of religion, Guru Giri, Guruship, they are posing as a saintly person with the aim of cheating others for their own sense gratification. So that is not wanted in our movement. In our movement, it is wanted pure devotional service. At the same time, we understand that everyone is on the path. We cannot immediately become a pure devotee. But at the same time, that pressure is there to do the proper thing in Krishna's service, not to deliberately cultivate material desires. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.